All right, happy Humper, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's Wendy Snyder here, and Bill Leff is off for the rest of the week, taking a little sabbatical, a toy sabbatical, sitting in his chair today, and I noticed you left it up very high like Bill does. Bill likes to pretend he's a lifeguard in the new studios here.
Puts that white stuff on his nose.
Yeah, and I brought him a whistle, so he's right. All good to go.
Kids, it's only been 58 minutes. Do not get in the pool.
Harry Tynowitz, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
See, I feel like when you fill in for Bill, it's the closest thing to Bill that I can get to because you were the best man in his wedding. You go back a long time
with
him.
Yes, I'm going to do the joke again. I was the best man, but yet Terry married him.
Woo!
I'm the closest thing to Bill. I'm Bill Leff Light.
You guys are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You have more jerseys than he does.
I do have more jerseys. I have more jerseys than the White Sox.
Don't let Chris Sale around you.
He'll cut them off.
He will.
He hates jerseys, and he loves scissors.
Can I say something? And Bertrand, you can jump in on this as well. I love a guy in a jersey. And people, Steve and I have differing views on fashion a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with guys wearing cargo shorts. That's passe, according to GQ.
What does GQ know about clothes?
I don't know. I'm okay with guys in flip-flops. What do you think about that, Steve?
I'm not a flip-flop guy, but I don't care if other people wear them.
Oh, really? I thought you didn't like looking at other people's feet.
Well, I don't look down.
Ever?
Not when... Are you wearing flip-flops?
No.
Okay.
So I'm okay with cargo shorts and flip-flops, and I'm really okay with a guy in a jersey. And last time this came up, people say, unless you're a player...
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear jerseys with another person's name on them.
Would you wear it with your own name?
I have one with my own, an old, back from the Bears days I do, yeah, which is silly.
I'd rather, because I have a friend, we'll just call him Mac, and he wears jerseys with his name on them. And I think, like, if you're on the radio, I'll wear a jersey with the guy's name on it. First of all, my favorite thing is, like, a game-worn jersey.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, I still am a big sports fan before I was ever on the radio. So, game-worn jerseys, and, like, this is a Stones jersey.
Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones softball jersey. So, I mean, this, to me, is like, come on.
Yeah, but it doesn't say Mick on the back, does it?
No, it says Jag, which could be construed
could be Mick,
in both
could
ways.
Be me. Yeah.
Kidding. I love a guy in a jersey.
Why, thank you. I'll always wear jerseys.
Well, that's all you have.
That's really all I have. I have jerseys and I have a suit in case somebody dies or I have to go to court. Usually if I go to court, somebody will... Never mind.
I just think it's okay for guys to wear jerseys. And I think it's weirder to wear your own name on it.
That's like, what I say.
Yeah. If you have like a Hawks jersey and it says Tynowitz, you're not on the team.
Right. Northwestern was cool enough to send me a jersey, but instead of putting Fitz or a player on there, they put my name on it. I don't want that.
So you have that hung up in a frame on your wall somewhere?
My wife will wear it.
You know, it's a point. I get that. Maybe just the number would be best.
I think, the name. I mean, if you're a Hawks fan, and you want to wear
I got Duncan Keith on the back of my shirt.
Perfect.
Wish I did. All right, I have, I'm happily married, I should say that in case Jim's listening, because mm-hmm. I'm Duncan Keith, whatever, just a fan. And
sure, that's how it starts.
Jim texted me something yesterday that said... This is big news. It's going to be big news. So I opened up the link, and I just want to share what my husband thinks is big news, and I think you may agree. Planters cheese balls are coming back.
They're back.
Did you even enjoy these? Because, man, did I love the Planters cheese balls. They were in the blue can.
Sure. Oh, you're playing snacks to me? You're right. They did go away.
They're coming back.
But I think they're coming back for a limited time.
Oh, then I'm going to have to hoard the cheese balls.
Mm-hmm.
A popular 90s snack is about to make a comeback. The Kraft Heinz Company confirmed it will relaunch Planters Cheese Balls. Cheese spelled C-H-E-E-Z.
Isn't that how you spell it? What's wrong with that?
That makes me think there's really no cheese in there, but that's all right. And cheese curls. As Harry said, for a limited time. Damn it, I didn't know it was limited time.
Right. I mean, I get all your snack info. Okay, so first of all, on that, wasn't chapter 4 in your book, How to Be Successful in Radio, called Hoard Your Cheese Balls?
Yes. That will be the name of my book, too. The company said petitions, online groups, and other efforts to bring back cheese balls and cheese curls go back as far as 12 years when they disappeared It really works.
Aren't there other things you'd like to bring back?
That's how Betty White was able to host SNL.
Right.
The Facebook campaign.
Right.
The company says they shipped the first wave of the snacks to fans who went, quote, above and beyond in helping in its comeback. I feel guilty that I didn't jump on the social media bandwagon to get them back.
Well, you don't have to tell people that. But, you know, I was part of the brigade to bring chicken and waffles to KFC.
What?
Chicken and waffles are finally coming to KFC. Like, shouldn't that have been a layup? Shouldn't that have happened, you know, 7 years ago?
Well, they have chicken.
Right. They are fried. When you think fast food, you know, when you think like, you know, where do you go get fried chicken? You think KFC. Wouldn't you think somebody would say, hey, you know what's big now? Is chicken and waffles.
Well, it's not that big anymore. They missed the boat.
Well, they're a little better late than never.
How are you instrumental in getting the Colonel to have chicken and waffles?
Well, let's just say anybody that played the Colonel in a commercial, I would email them. So George Hamilton, Jim Gaffigan, all those
Reba
guys.
McEntire.
Reba McEntire. She was my favorite. Kevin Nealon. I just say, hey, can you please get chicken and waffles? And then, like, you don't need an excuse for why there's maple syrup on your fried chicken. You know, it's like, hey, it was for the waffles.
I don't like to mix my food like that.
What? Not even there? Come on.
I don't know. Do you need maple syrup on fried chicken?
I don't think so. Honey, yes. Ketchup goes on everything. But, yeah.
Don't call me honey.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Although we go back a long way, too. I'll take it from you.
But I think it's good that, you know, like, when all this stuff is going on with Trump and, you know, Russia and, you know, the summit with Kim Jong-un, the Jimmy Mack says, this is really big. Cheese balls are coming back.
Well, it's funny because he's explaining it to the kids last night. Dylan's 15, Michael's 19, and Michael sort of remembers them. And Dylan's like, I just remember cheese balls. I don't remember what brand. And then we're like, the little blue can with the yellow, you know, plastic top. It, like a giant Pringles thing, and Jim goes, we used to eat them on an airplane. I'm like, we don't travel that much, but we used to eat them at our home, too.
Channel 9 should get Jimmy Mack to do the 9 o'clock news. I know they brought in a new guy, but it should be Jimmy Mack.
Hey, things that matter, we got it covered, and I got Jimmy Mack looking out for us. So cheese balls, Planters cheese balls, C-H-E-E-Z.
Coming up, Quisp or Quake, who do you take?
That is the part of Bill Leff.
That,
good
Bill,
job.
Bill would do a Quisp and Quake reference.
Good one. How come they're not spelling balls with a Z? Why don't they keep, you know, cheese with a Z and then balls with a Z?
I would think marketing-wise, that would be the better move. You see,
get the Colonel on the phone.
Colonel's no longer with us.
I know, but it's so cute that you reached out to all the people who played the Colonel. They're not really the Colonel.
Do you know the first fan letter I ever wrote? It was an assignment for school to write somebody a fan letter. So I chose Keith Magnuson, the late, great Chicago Blackhawk, and I wrote him a fan letter, and he sent me back a picture, autographed picture. It was so cool, but he wasn't in a Hawks jersey. He was in a 7-Up jersey because he sold 7-Up. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I'm writing fan letters. So who else do I want to write to? So I wrote to Chef Boyardee.
Who was a real guy.
Thank you. He was a real man.
They changed the spelling of his name, kind of like Bon Jovi.
Right.
They changed his spelling, too. Uh-huh. But Chef Boyardee was instrumental in creating canned goods for military, correct?
Yes. Boy, you just gave me a great idea. Bon Jovi should, like, be selling canned pasta. Come on. That'd be great.
It would have a lot of hair on it.
Well, not on it. Maybe on the side.
Perhaps, shaped like his head with the hair. Mm-hmm. He's got great hair still to this day.
There'd be a line like halfway down the can, like you're halfway there.
I like it.
Well, so I'm glad you knew that Chef Boyardee was a real guy.
You would have little faces with X's for eyes, and some would be dead, some would be alive.
There you go.
All right, get John Bon Jovi on the phone, Jasmine Stat. We have to take a quick break. Harry Tynowitz is sitting in for Bill Leff. Bill will be back on Monday. And we're going to have some fun today. We have Tony Fulmer coming up at 11:35. Gardening tips. This rain has been really great for my grass, but not that great for my Annabelle hydrangeas that are flopping over now because of all the rain.
Didn't you used to dislike Annabelle? Annabelle hydrangea? I thought you didn't like her.
From Bow Wow Wow?
Yeah. I don't know who.
I don't know where to go.
She sounds like
this.
A person's name, not a plant.
No, it's a plant. And our show psychologist special order for Harry Dinowitz. Dr. John Duffy will be with us as well. So it's Wendy and Harry here on 720 WGN. Harry Dinowitz is here. He's sitting in for Bill Leff. Bill will be back on Monday, just taking a couple of days off to enjoy the nice rainy weather. So I got texted an important story from Jimmy Mack. You know, this is going to be big. And you texted me a bunch of information, too.
I'm just always texting. You know, it's fun when I can text. You know, with like something, you know, behind it, as opposed to, you know, hey, I just had tuna melt. What'd you have?
Do you eat tuna melts?
Tuna melts are like one of the greatest sandwiches ever. Ever.
Can I tell you something? Huh. I'm Catholic, growing up Catholic. Uh-huh. Not every Friday, but many Fridays during Lent, my mom would make the typical tuna casserole with the creamettes and the peas and the cream of mushroom soup. And then you'd melt like Kraft singles on the top, so you'd see the square pieces of cheese that just melted like that. And it was okay. I don't really like it. I love tuna salad, but warm tuna is just not my friend.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, with that attitude, it's not going to be. I want you to embrace the ability to put tuna on wheat bread or a bagel or an English muffin. And then you get, like, cheese. You can go Kojak. You can go...
Who loves your baby?
Who loves your baby? It's hard to eat a tuna melt with a lollipop, but if you were Telly Savalas, you would. You can go Swiss, you can go American and Swiss, cheddar, so many ways to go. Tuna melt is awesome, and you can, like, you know, my wife will, like, fry it up. I microwave it, you know? I'm happy to microwave it. It's, you know, I don't have the patience, you know, to sit there and, like, fry it and flip it. And
like a grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Way better that way.
Oh, sure it is, but, you know, tuna melt, you just microwave it. It's easily done.
I'm not a big... fan of the warm tuna, cold and crisp with celery and onions.
Quite delicious, but tuna melt. I want you to give tuna melts another shot, won't you please?
Is there a tuna melt flavored ice cream flavor?
I think if there were, Starkist and Baskin Robbins would both be happy.
Who would eat that other than you?
I would think like a seafaring man. I would think a whaler would. You know, like
the Gorton's
fisherman would love that ice cream. If you were a mermaid, you know, you'd say, oh, man, I'm going to go to Homer's after the show and I'm going to have a tuna melt malted.
There are some weird flavors in ice creams that I have. This is one of the big stories you sent to me.
And, yes.
But see, I like this stuff. Harry, we all need kind of an escape from what's going on in the world today.
That's why I'm here. I'm Recess for Adults. Well, I've got my coffee.
Oh, I just wanted to help you out.
Oh, you're so nice. You give and give, Wendy. You just give and give.
I try to help. I try to support. But here's what I was thinking. After the news, maybe we can discuss some of these weird new ice cream flavors.
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound like a good plan?
Yeah, because like, my favorite flavor of all time can't be found. And
almond chocolate?
No, I don't like nuts.
Are you allergic?
No. I just, I'll eat cashews. If there were just like a big thing of cashews in here, I would have cashews. But I don't like them in Chinese food, and I don't like them in ice cream.
I don't like them in Chinese food.
I don't like them in brownies.
You got to go nuts.
No. Oh, see what you did there?
No.
See what you did there?
I was trying not to do anything.
No, I like my Chinese food and my ice cream female. No nuts.
He's Harry Dinowitz sitting in for Bill Leff today. Couldn't be more proud. Really, thank you for coming in. And we will discuss crazy ice cream flavors. And we have a lot of other things up our jersey sleeves today. It's Harry Dinowitz. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Harry Dinowitz. He's sitting in for Bill Leff today. Tomorrow, Brian Noonan will be in Bill's chair, and then Frank Fontana on Friday.
That's a full
variety.
Plate.
Yeah.
Yes. Careful. Your husband's listening.
I just mean whatever. All right. We were talking about strange flavors of ice cream. Can I ask you, are you a chocolate or vanilla guy?
Oh, really? Yeah. If I get vanilla, I will put Hershey syrup or Bosco all over it.
I like vanilla.
Well, you know.
Here's why, though.
Life's like that.
Because you can put, you know, you can turn vanilla into a turtle sundae with caramel and hot fudge. You can mix other things. You can put fruit in it. Chocolate, to me, is just chocolate.
First of all, for you youngsters out there, if you're putting fruit in your ice cream, wait until the ice cream is ready to be served and put the fruit on top. You don't want to mix it in. Like, I hate it when Cold Stone mixes the fruit in first because it's like it's all frozen already.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like trying to get that, you know, that prehistoric man out of the ice.
Right.
Right. So, you know, you put chocolate sauce on chocolate.
That's chocolate overload.
No, it's not. No such thing. I'm a chocolateaholic. I love chocolate. Chocolate is so great for you.
I am boring, I've decided.
No. Who told you that? That's not true.
And I don't love ice cream. That's another thing that's weird about me.
What country are you from?
I know. It sounds very weird.
How do you not love ice cream?
There's an Andes custard near us, and I will go get a turtle sundae and... if it's an ice cream as part of a sundae, mm-hmm. to me, it's awesome and it's a thrill and it's a treat. But to just go get a scoop of ice cream on a cone is not exciting to me. And I even yelled at my boys because Michael wanted a vanilla malt. Dylan wanted a chocolate shake. And I said, you're wasting your calories. And they said, what do you mean? We like it. And I said, well, it's just a drink. Make it an experience by getting a sundae.
See, that's the difference between us, Wendy. I would give my kids chocolate chip cookies for the ride to the ice cream shop. Wasting your calories. Chocolate's awesome. I love, chocolate. 31 flavors has chocolate fudge. Chocolate chip is vanilla with, you know.
I like chocolate chip.
Right, you can't go wrong.
But it's mostly vanilla.
Right, it is mostly vanilla, but
it's semi-sweet chocolate in it.
Oh, yeah, semi-sweet's the way to go, by the way.
All right, I might get a scoop of that.
Yeah, see, a scoop? Come on, think big.
No.
Three-gallon tub.
I'd get overloaded on that.
Okay.
And you need the crunch of the cone. I don't like ice cream that's not in a cone unless it's a sundae.
I was going through my freezer the other night looking for ice cream, and I'm trying to figure out which one of my kids eats half a pint and then puts it back. and who is the real father?
See, I can't... I have three boys that will eat the whole container.
Of course.
That's too much.
It's not. I'm not talking about. Talking about the wide one. I'm not talking about like when you get the big
like
old,
a Ben and Jerry's or something.
Yeah, like a Ben and Jerry's, like a pint. You know, when you get something like that.
Too much.
That's too much.
At one sitting, yes.
You a crazy girl. So what's your like favorite weird ice cream?
I like Rocky Road. With the marshmallows. You don't like nuts, but there's almonds and marshmallows.
Just chocolate marshmallow would be great.
I'd prefer chocolate almond, but 31 Flavors stopped serving that.
No, they stopped serving. 31 Flavors used to have chocolate.
31 Flavors.
Right. They used to have like 6,000, but they used to have chocolate mandarin.
What is that?
Chocolate mandarin. It was technically a sherbet, a sherbet convi, it was right next to the banana section. Chocolate mandarin is like an orange-infused chocolate ice cream, like a chocolate sherbet with orange flavor in it.
The chocolate ruins the orange sherbet.
No, like if you went to Fannie Mae and you got an orange cream.
Who does that?
Who doesn't do that? That's Fannie Mae orange creams. It's like orange and chocolate.
Yeah, they have those chocolate oranges, too. Do you eat those?
No, I'm not talking about that. No.
Orange and chocolate should not go together.
Oh, you see, you're missing out. Now, the greatest is chocolate and banana.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
And then welcome to my world. You know, you're going to have like a horticultural expert. You're going to have a psychologist. When you're talking like, you know, chocolate and snacks, now you're in my town.
All right. Tell me about these crazy ice cream flavors.
Well, I mean, there's new ice cream flavors, and people just keep coming up with stuff. And if you go online, you find even more stuff. In Colorado, there is a goat cheese beer swirl ice cream. How horrible does that sound?
Yeah, I like salty stuff over sweet stuff, but when you're getting ice cream, you're expecting it to be sweet, not pungent.
Yeah, now beer swirl, I like the concept. Love the concept. That's good. But like goat cheese, so cheese ice cream is bad, and then goat cheese ice cream just makes it sound like way too tough.
Yeah, I mean, I love cheese. I don't know who doesn't. Put cheese on anything, and that's the best thing on earth, but in the ice cream.
No, not in the ice cream. Mm-mm. You crazy, you do that.
Like, I love oil and vinegar on salad so much. Mm-hmm. When I'm finished with the salad, I drink the leftover vinegar.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't want it in an
shower?
Ice cream.
Yeah,
what?
You don't shower with oil and vinegar?
Oil, but not...
Steve, the weirdest ice cream you enjoy?
The weirdest ice cream I don't have.
Are you vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Yeah. See.
Right.
I like chocolate, that. I'm like Bertrand.
Cookie dough. Cookie dough is what.
That's good
for that.
Cookie dough's good.
But again, a vanilla base. Like if you put cookie dough and chocolate, that's too sweet.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't do chocolate.
Yeah, I really don't either, except for Rocky Road.
Oh, come on. Chocolate fudge, chocolate mandarin is great that I mentioned. What about like...
Chocolate mandarin just sounds confused.
What about like a fudge ribbon, which is also vanilla based. You guys got to like that, right? With the fudge going through it. That's so good for you.
It's so good for you?
Yes, it's healthy.
I like a simple French vanilla.
I like the French vanilla also. Do you like vanilla bean, too?
You're paying an extra quarter for that simple French vanilla.
I haven't had ice cream.
Oh, my God. See? Bertrand and I are exactly alike in one way.
I got to go get some ice cream.
Yes, you do. But not because Wendy doesn't.
So I heard you guys talking ice cream, and I want to chime in. It's Jen here. So chocolate's really good when it's sandwiched in between cherry vanilla, strawberry pistachio, and orange sherbet on a rainbow cone.
You know, it's funny you say that because Rita has just called us. Rita, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
You want to mention a combination of flavors that mixes together beautifully, don't you?
Yes, I do. You can't beat a rainbow cone.
Yes. The original rainbow cone is over there. It's southwest side, right? I can't remember the exact.
On the south side, yes. And on Western Avenue, around 92nd, whatever.
Yeah, I wanted to take my boys there. I am not one to mix flavors, but the way they've come up with the cherry walnut and chocolate and pistachio and orange sherbet, and there's something else, maybe strawberry.
Yeah.
It is unbelievably great together.
Yeah, it's like they cloned Spumoni.
New York cherry.
New York cherry, that's it. Well, thank you, Rita. Yeah. I'll meet you over at
Rainbow.
You're
welcome. Oh, I wish you could. I'm actually on the south side now, so I might bop over there.
You put the taste in your own head, didn't you?
I did, for sure. I've been thinking about it since they opened.
Yeah, because they're just open seasonally. I've been thinking about it, too. I'll meet you over there, Rita. Thank you for calling. Have you had a rainbow cone?
Oh, yeah. I've had a rainbow cone. There's nuts, so you got to, me, I got to pick around it. Jen, do you create, your own kind of rainbow cones? Do you put your ice creams together? Are you, a mad scientist?
No, I do have a quart of rainbow cone in my freezer right now because, I like to travel down there and bring it back and store it, but...
you can get it in a container?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going.
You're a quart at home or you're a quart here at the station?
It's at home. I'm sorry, Harry.
Dang.
Yeah. But other than that, I do like the triple things, like the Neapolitan and Spumoni.
Neapolitan?
Spumoni is not good.
Hey, okay, here's
I'm embarrassed to be half Italian.
What are you, half Italian, half Irish?
A little German, a little Scotch-Irish. I don't know that side very well.
Wow, you should get to know yourself. here's what Napoleon ice cream looks like in everybody's freezer. It looks like strawberry ice cream.
Neapolitan.
Neapolitan, right.
Why?
Sorry.
What did I say? Strawberry.
Napoleon ice cream is really small amount. Small amount of Neapolitan is Napoleon ice cream.
So bad.
I like the strawberry. Hello?
Hello. People eat the chocolate. People eat the vanilla. And the strawberry is the last part consumed. My daughter's favorite ice cream is strawberry, so she'd probably join you. But, I always feel like, why would you get, Neapolitan? Because you've gotten chocolate or vanilla.
Yeah, I don't agree with that because the vanilla is like the bonus extra for me. Like the strawberry and the chocolate have substance. The vanilla is just, vanilla.
It has a wonderful flavor. Palmer House is the cherry and walnut that is used on the rainbow cone.
Palmer House?
Yeah, it's like Palmer House cherry. Go to the website at rainbowcone.com. I was just on it drooling the other day.
Speaking of drooling, in Hawaii, there's ube ice cream made with purple yams. Purple yams. I'd try it.
I'd try it because of the I love purple.
I love purple, too.
I would try it.
Grape ice is a purple ice cream that's seasonal. Yeah. Don't see it a lot.
Why is it seasonal? Grapes are around year round.
I don't know. The ice part, people, they think that in the summer only, that's when people want ice.
You ever had,
Oh, I was going to say purple ice cream, but Chugo has a violet ice cream that tastes like violet.
Remember those candies that
tasted violet?
Yeah.
Those candies. Those violet
candies. Thank you, Bertrand. What does violet taste like?
It tastes like... And then there's sky candy. It tastes like sky.
It tastes like violet. I can't explain it. You're just going to have to go to Pechugo at some point and ask for the violet ice cream.
There's a lavender ice cream on my list, and I'm like, who knows what lavender tastes like?
Well, it tastes like it smells.
I don't think so. You want a Lysol malted?
It's not Lysol. We have to take a break, and then your crazy ice cream flavors. It's Harry Tynowitz in for Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's 720 WGN. All right, Bill Leff has taken a couple days off. He'll be back on Monday. Harry Tynowitz sitting in his chair today. I'm Wendy Snyder. And the original rainbow cone, just to tell you what it consists of, on the and it's in this order. On the bottom is chocolate, then strawberry, then Palmer House, which is New York vanilla with cherries and walnuts, then pistachio, and topped off with orange sherbet, and it's awesome. It's really good. That I have to go to tonight. And their address is 92nd Western? 9233 Southwestern in Chicago.
I'm leaving right after the show. I'll be listening to Bertrand driving out there to get some.
Yes, no stream again today. We will be back on the stream hopefully next week. We're still in the process of building new studios here at 303 East Wacker.
That's where Wendy's going to go after the show. She starts and work on the studio. She builds it up. And
yes.
Runs the wires.
Hey, Joe has called us. Hey, Joe.
Hi. This sounds crazy, but my wife accidentally put a bottle of raspberry-infused balsamic vinegar in the refrigerator. And by the time I found it, it was almost the consistency of honey. And I looked at it, and I just tasted a little bit of it, and I thought, that would be great on vanilla ice cream. And it's outstanding.
Really?
Outstanding. Yeah. You wouldn't think balsamic vinegar on ice cream, but raspberry-infused balsamic vinegar is sweet.
Yeah.
And it was just great. I've done it more than once now.
You're giving me all kinds of ideas. Thousand Island Oreo ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like something you get at a Fancy Pants restaurant.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
what's
right.
Fancy Pants?
I don't know. Beyond my
oh, grade. I thought it was an actual place.
It should be.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
And you know, the best inventions happen by accident. Like Frosted Flakes were invented by accident.
What are you saying?
Or Fancy Pants Restaurant.
Fancy Pants Restaurant. Let's start it.
How was Frosted Flakes by accident?
Because the guy left out, he was supposed to put it away, and he left it out. He left out, you know, flakes that he had, like, put sugar on. And in the morning, he went back, and they went, these are good. Wonder if I put these in a bowl with milk, how they would taste.
Was that Tony the Tiger who did that?
It might have been. Oh. You know, Tony the Tiger's not real, right, Wendy?
No.
Never mind.
The guy who thinks all the...
Colonel Sanders is real. He's so cool. He could be eight different celebrities.
He's all encompassing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jim, what do you want to talk about?
Your purple cow. About four or five blocks down from Rainbow, I live in that area, Beverly, on Western Avenue is a place called the Purple Cow. And they have a Jersey cow painted purple and black on the roof. And it's an ice cream parlor, and you can actually go in there and get violet ice cream. I mean, they have all the regular blends in that, but they're noted for their violet-tasting ice cream, purple ice cream.
Is it still open?
No.
Yes.
Jazzy just checked their Facebook page, and it appears that it is no longer in business. That's
sad.
Man, you get our hopes up for nothing. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. And Cock Robin, we lived by a Cock Robin in Brookfield.
I don't have a dump button. Yeah.
The square ice cream. And they had...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They had the... I can't remember what it was called. The jumbo cone or something. It was three flavors of sherbet. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Purple Cow, by the way, is what all the mean characters at McDonald's refer to the grimace as.
All right. We have a minute or two at the most. What are some of these crazy flavors you came up with? Found them online.
Not I. Yeah.
NewYorkPost.com.
Right, right. There's all kinds. Avocado or avocado? What do you say?
Avocado.
Avocado cayenne. I mean, do you want any part of that?
On a sandwich, not in an ice cream cone.
Right, and therein lies the problem.
The Cheeto ice cream.
Yeah. See that?
You can't mix it.
Your husband might like it.
Only Planters cheese balls.
Coconut lemongrass ice cream.
Lemongrass is not good. Can I tell you that? I know there are a lot of places where you can get a shot of lemongrass, and you know what it tastes like? Grass.
Yeah, not good. Can you see this screen over here?
No.
Play-Doh ice cream.
Oh, that'd be good for Bertrand. Or did you just eat paste?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What'd you say? Did I eat paste?
He never listens when I'm on.
There, Harry mentioned Play-Doh ice cream. I don't know if you ate Play-Doh.
Absolutely. That
I
little
did too.
Salty tang.
It was very salty. Yeah. Salty tang. I believe that's a flavor.
You had to eat it fresh, though, because it did not weather overnight.
Minnesota, they have a margarita pizza ice cream.
That's stupid.
I would try it once. How about Canadian bacon with maple syrup ice cream?
That sounds kind of tempting.
You don't put ham in ice cream. I'm sorry.
You put bacon with anything.
It's Canadian bacon.
Yeah, which is basically ham.
Right, right.
No.
I mean, if I ask for bacon and eggs and they bring me ham and eggs, I'm going to eat it. But, you know, bacon is, like, different than ham.
Now, when you get ham and eggs, do you put syrup on your bacon, on your ham?
I do enjoy. Now, with eggs, no, I probably wouldn't.
But with pancakes,
with
when
pancakes,
you get a sausage,
oh, yeah.
You got to put syrup on that.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
But that's not ice cream.
No, it's not ice cream.
You want sausage and syrup ice cream? Would you eat that?
I would not. That's probably here. How about this? In Missouri, you can get Mountain Dew and Doritos ice cream.
No. How high do you have to be?
I was going to say, who's higher, the people that thought of that or the people that eat that?
The Mountain Dew ice cream I'd try. They have the Baja Blast at Taco Bell, and that's awesome.
Ooh.
That's frozen Baja Mountain Dew.
Really?
Yeah.
Carrot cake ice cream.
That I'd try. It's sweet. It goes with ice cream.
Mm.
Salty, I guess, pretzels in your ice cream.
How come they always have to put... Carrot cake is the one food where they always have to put a picture of a carrot on it.
Because it doesn't really taste like carrot, and you're surprised it's called that. But there's shredded carrots in it.
I gotcha.
We have to take a break. Dr. John Duffy coming up after the 11 o'clock news, and we'll talk about family vacations and their importance. And that could mean just a weekend downtown. Also, Tony Fulmer is here. We'll talk about midsummer gardening tips. He's the head horticulturist at the Chalet in Wilmette. It's Harry in for Bill, Wendy, 720 WGN. All right. It is Bill Leff not here today. He is taking the week off. And I just want to give you a message. Jimmy Mack texted me. Say hi to Harry. He used to talk about tequila like he's talking about ice cream.
Yes, it's true. And there is tequila ice cream.
Right. Mezcal.
Yeah. So
I would try that.
I could have it that way.
With the worm on top.
Yeah. God, there's worms on top. There's scorpions on top. Yeah. Jimmy Mack was awesome. I worked with him on, we'll just call him Brandmeier, like 1997.
Who's in the Radio Hall of Fame.
He is.
Very excited for Johnny B.
Johnny B deserves to be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Dr. John Duffy deserves to be in the Clinical Psychologist Hall of Fame. Is there such a thing, Dr.
If
Duffy?
If only there was such a thing, man, I would rally to get involved in that.
Think of the time you'd have to spend with the psychologist that didn't get in there.
Ooh, Harry, I don't like that. That's a good point. Thank you.
I just saw John Duffy lives in our neighborhood, and I just saw you and your son taking a jog the other day.
Yes. Yes.
I like to see the father-son bonding, and I also saw some pictures on Facebook that you guys did a family vacation to Iceland.
We did, and Iceland is, for those of you who haven't been, a landscape unlike anything else, I think, on the face of the earth. Every corner you turn in a car, you see another mountain range, you see another waterfall, you see this culture that is these beautiful, fairly quiet people, so you have to kind of adapt. And that's what kind of got me thinking about the nature of travel and what that does for kids and families in particular. And
where we learn about other cultures, isn't that important?
It's huge. It's huge because you get yourself out of context. So a lot of kids spend the summers these days with screens as prevalent as they are at home, right? And this is fairly normal. But if you get out of context, and that Iceland is great, but if you can just get to a different neighborhood in the city, you experience something different. You get a little flexibility in your thinking. You expose yourself to a slightly different culture. You might order something off a menu you've never tried before. And that reaps benefits way beyond the obvious because I always look at the goal of parenting, you guys, as...
God, is it hard.
It's so hard. First of all, it's difficult, right?
I'm so sick of these parents going, oh, really? Parenting is easy. It is not. It's the toughest thing I've ever done in my life.
And you know what, Wendy? I think it's getting harder. You know, my son is 22. Your guys are a little bit older. And I honestly think...
Younger than George.
Younger, I'm sorry. but it's... Yeah, right. It's harder to parent a guy who's 15 now than to parent a guy who's 22 because Dylan has all this... information coming at him that just 7 years ago
wasn't
George
there.
Didn't have, right? So parenting's getting trickier as time
goes on. Right, and at 22, you really are not going to change the way he thinks. But, you know, with my kids are 17 and 13, and I might be able to, you know, say something that they'll remember that might affect them. I think one of the best things about traveling as a family is my kids, their rooms are next door to each other, and mm-hmm. they're right next to each other, but they could go all day, all night without like really hanging out. You
Absolutely.
Know? So if you're traveling, you know, siblings are united.
It's a great point, right? You know, so
I always do.
Right. You get a feel for your family in a different way, and you create these kind of in-jokes and these this little culture outside your house that makes you resilient when things go wrong in the future. I always talk about this story. We didn't travel when I was a kid, and then in the decade that ensued, some things went down in my family that were really pretty tragic, and we weren't prepared for that. And I always think, man, if we had had some family vacations, I think we might have been more resilient to what went on there.
Because there is some change thrown at you, and you have to acclimate to different things when you're on vacation. We did our first road trip a couple of years ago to Nashville, and I was kind of worried about that because we had never done a family road trip before. And I, two teenage boys, I'm like, oh, God, this is going to suck. But we rented a van that an SUV that did not have a console seat. There were two separate seats so they could stay away from each other. And this is our first vacation we're going in a couple of weeks where we actually saved up and we're getting a second room for the two boys. I've never done that before. This is an experiment in terror, I think, to see how that goes.
So, gentlemen, when you're on a vacation, do your kids, like, still stay in their phone the whole time?
That's where I was going, Harry. So I have one child, and it's my guy who's 22. But I noticed somewhere in the middle of this Iceland trip that not only was my kid not on his phone, but I was looking around at other families with far younger kids, and these kids weren't on their phones either. I think when you get to the awe of an amazing landscape, the phone becomes superfluous a little bit. And listen, at some point during the day, they're probably going to want to get on Snapchat and check that out and play, you know, a little Fortnite or something. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of the day, their heads are up. They're looking around. They're talking to people and engaged in a way that they aren't normally if they're just here.
That's a good point. I saw some of the photographs and video that you posted. It looked fake. These waterfalls looked like it was a movie set or computer generated, actually.
After a while, it kind of became like, here's another waterfall, but maybe we can skip this one. I'm sure there's something good down the road, which, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches. You get back here. Like my son pointed out, like, if this were in Kansas, we'd probably be marveling at it a little bit right
now. That's a good point.
If it were in Kansas, it'd be like the Wizard of Oz. The whole state's in black.
Exactly. Good point, Harry.
And also, you know, not everybody can afford to take a vacation, and we're not a big travel family. We
right.
really go like every few years. But even coming downtown for the day, and I'm embarrassed. My kids have not gone to the Willis Tower.
Sears Tower.
I know. This is really the first time I ever said Willis. But there are certain things that I feel like I've neglected to share with them. So a daytime excursion to the museum, and some of them have free days. You can go to their website. It's not like you have to spend a lot of money to get away from your immediate neighborhood.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, I don't know anybody who has really taken on this city fully as a tourist and really felt what Chicago has to offer top to bottom. But anything that gets us out of context, you know, and our context is our house, our neighborhood, the people we're usually hanging around with. And if you just step out of that and take a tour of the Sears Tower, right?
Thank you.
That's a little departure from what you would ordinarily do. And that gets your kids thinking just a little bit differently. It expands their world just enough that it's interesting.
I remember once, like in college, and I ended up after the incident at Kansas, I ended up going and graduating from Columbia College. But I remember some friends that they like, hey, today let's go to the Art Institute. I'm like, oh, who's in town? Because the only time we would ever go like to the, you know, the Field Museum or the Museum of Science and Industry or the Art Institute is when someone's in town.
Right. Oh, you know? To show them around.
Yeah, show them around Chicago. And it's like, you know, boy, am I dumb. You know, I've been wasting, you know, because I'll go to games all the time, you know, or I'll go to, you know, theater, you know, the track. But, you know, like the museums, I would only go there if I had a friend from out of town. So, but you can actually do that, you know, with your
on
family.
On your own, yeah.
Anytime. Well, and we all have blind spots, I think. You know, in terms of what you know, what's
blind
available in this city, right? You know, yeah. And you open one of those up, and you might think like, the last thing I want to do is. Well, we had this experience in Iceland. We were in this one little town. It was cold. It was rainy, and there was a herring museum. Herring, like the fish.
Yeah.
And my son is like, oh, we should probably check it out. And I'm like, oh God, really? And it was amazing. I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely herring actually held up half of the economy of this entire island for 75 years. And I didn't know that. And they showed how it was processed. And it turned out to be fascinating. We loved it. And I would have blown that off in a heartbeat if it were my call.
Is there like a whole pickled wing in the herring?
Of course there is. There's a pickled wing. There's a canning wing. You name it, Harry. It's there.
But so when they asked you, like, herring, do you mean like fish? No. We mean like listening. There's a herring. This guy could hear anything.
He's Harry Tynowitz. He's sitting in for Bill Left today, and we're chatting with Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. You should pick up his book, The Available Parent. You're working on a new book, too?
I am.
All right, perfect. You can find him at drjohnduffy.com. Quick break. If you need us, 312-981-7200. Wendy Snyder here along with Harry Tynowitz, 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder here along with Harry Tynowitz. Big news, Michael Jackson's father, Joe Jackson, has passed away. That is breaking news that happened. Also, Dr. John Duffy is here. He's a clinical psychologist, a life coach, parenting expert, all-around nice guy. You can find him at drjohnduffy.com. I heard you and Harry talking about something off the air about, you know, in the old days it was weird to go to a therapist, and now I feel like everybody just openly says, well, if you want to do lunch, I have a therapist appointment on Thursday. People aren't and shouldn't be scared to say they're going to see a therapist.
Therapy is wonderful. You know, my story, which was well publicized, unfortunately, I had a little unexpected vacation, 8 weeks in rehab, and every morning is therapy. And, I loved small group therapy. They said
that, and it helped you tremendously, did it not?
It helps tremendously. But you have to go in there with the attitude like I'm going to let my guard down. I'm going to be real, because if you don't have a chance to connect with your therapist, you know, you're full of crap. You know, you have to be willing to just sit there and go, hey, I need help. You know, help me. And I found therapy to be wonderful. But still, I'll hear people saying, yeah, well, I got something. I can't do it then. I got something. Like, how are we in 2018 and people still are like, you know, embarrassed that, you know, that they are going to see a therapist?
It's a great question, Harry, because, you know, I think most of us recognize out loud, as long as it's about somebody else,
right?
Oh, therapy's a great thing. I'm so glad you're getting it. You're having difficulty in your own mind with anxiety or depression or with your family or with your parents, whatever. But typically that's about somebody else. There are winds of change blowing. The fact that you, as a male in America, are willing to say out loud on the radio, you know, hey, I went through this thing and it was hard, and I had to be vulnerable in front of these people and ask for help, just that alone breaks the taboo just a little bit. And you see this happening on social media more and more, where there are celebrities and just ordinary people saying, you know, this has changed my life. I encourage people to do this. So I think the more that happens, the more the taboo breaks. This is one thing where I think social media is heading us in the right direction. But it is glacial, and there is still this bias against it. And I think the fundamental undercurrent is it's vulnerable. And a lot of us, especially men, see vulnerability as weakness.
Weakness.
Yep, right? I mean, it's pretty evident, right? And so it's like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy who's going in and asking for help from somebody else. I should be able to, you know, it's in my head. I should be able to just work my way through it and figure it out instead of looking at therapy as a tool that I can use, just like you would to fix your car. Okay, I'm not thinking quite straight and it's affecting my life, so I'm going to seek out this help in order to get where it is I want to be in my life. It's a massive tool.
You know, I think about, you know, my kids have both done therapy, and I think sometimes it's like, wow, I'm sure I've given them some things to complain about. But then I think that's just all part of life. I've made mistakes. I admit that I have. And I surprisingly do not get hung up about what they might say to a therapist. And we shouldn't. We're all there to get better, right?
Absolutely. And listen, all of us as parents, anybody who's ever had a child, we all have, we know we've made mistakes. We've stumbled somewhere along the way. And if we are guarded about, like, you know, boy, don't tell your therapist about what happened last Thursday, then we're missing the boat, right? To recognize, we're flawed, but I'm doing my best. I'm trying to stay in my lane as best I can. That gives our kids permission to say everything they need to say. And I work with a lot of young people, and if they feel, I can tell when they feel like, there's certain things I'm not supposed to say here because mom and dad have instructed me. And I usually get mom and dad in as quick as I can, and I say, lift the taboo.
And that mom and dad have instructed them. Sometimes kids don't want to rat out their parents.
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
I think that would be a difficult thing.
Any kid will go in and talk about their parents, but your kids would have no one else as their mom. But they're still going to say, oh, my mom did this or my dad did this, but they want you. They want Jimmy Mack. So I have two kids, and they're 4.5 years apart, but they're way different.
Uh-huh.
My daughter does, you know, a million activities after school, and she'll come home, and it's like, you know, she's doing the 10 o'clock news. And my son likes to just come home, play video games, and if I ask him, hey, you know what happened today, he'll say, I was at school.
Right.
So how much digging, like as a parent, am I smart to, like, lay off, stand back, or do I want to, like, you know, go further, and even if he's not comfortable talking about it?
It's a great question because, you know, none of us have raised the same kid twice. We think we do. You know, you think, like, oh, we're in the same culture, we're in the same family, we've got the same parents in the same home, but every kid is going to be different, and so we have to think about what their inclinations are, where their comfort zones are. So I would argue that you're probably handling it really well, recognizing, like, okay, my daughter, she's really open, she wants to talk, so I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna listen, you know, for as long as she's talking. With your son, you might just get moments and sound bites, and you've got to take advantage of those. You know, where it's like, okay, I got 3 minutes with him in the car on the way to practice. I'm going to take those 3 minutes, and, you know, and if he's open to talking, I'm going to listen, you know?
Can I throw out a suggestion? Because my little one loves to play video games. So if he's had a good week at school or has done something extra at home, and I say, hey, let's go get a new video game, I'm betting you $100 that that's when a conversation begins where he starts talking to you. Because you're like, wow, Dad's cool. He's buying me a new video game. And that's when you can go, you know, hey, what's your favorite game? How's everything going? And all of a sudden you snuck in a conversation. Is that good advice?
It's great advice. And a lot of us are really reluctant to step into our kids' worlds because we don't value it, right? We think, like, oh, these video games are bad for kids. This rap music is bad for kids. So I'm going to tell my kid I don't approve of that. What we're doing unwittingly is saying, you can't talk to me about this.
And it's and a
far,
they won't.
And they won't, right? So it's a far better story to say, hey, play that song for me. Let me see Fortnite. Show me how you play it. And then you're in their world, right? And then they want to, the kids like to teach their parents things. You know, they like to be the experts. And as long as you give them that space, you might get in some other areas of their lives, or at least understand, like, why is it that you love this? And that tells you a little something about your kid.
In theory, I'd love to go with my son, but if I say, hey, we're going to get you a new video game, he would say, okay, great, Dad, just give me the Steam card, and I'll go when I'm done playing video games.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so that points to that we have limited opportunities. And I work with parents who get really disappointed in themselves about, like, oh, I don't have these hours of family meetings and things. But kids work in sound bites here. Kids work these days in moments. If you get a half an hour in the car to talk to your kid, you've won the lottery. Take advantage of every moment of it. But if you just get a couple of minutes, take the couple of minutes.
All right, this is why Steve Cochran earlier today said that Dr. John Duffy is great. And I said, thank you. I don't know why I'm responsible for it, but we are so glad that you're here every other week. He's our show psychologist. Harry, you can use him whenever you're here filling in for Bill.
Thank you. I'm going to put him on speed dial.
Thank you. How do we reach you and your podcast? Check out Better that he co-hosts with his wife, Julie Duffy. You can find it on WGN Plus and iTunes, wherever your favorite podcasts are. And how do people reach you,
yeah,
John?
The clearinghouse for all of it is drjohnduffy.com.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'm going to tell you all about the plants, all of the pots and how they grow. Now just sit right down and enjoy the song. Your lesson starts right now and here we go.
All right, our lesson is from Tony Fulmer, the Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery, which is located at 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. Harry is in for Bill Left today, Tony. I don't know if you've met Harry before.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
But he looks like a very astute gardener, so I'm
yeah.
I'm going to be challenged, probably. I can see that.
No, I mean, I could make a salad, you know, but not at all. No, Wendy's like, do you have any gardening questions? Like, well, I have a plant question. Okay. That would be good. It'd be right up Tony's alley. And, you know, I grew up in Glencoe, and I live now, like, where Evanston meets Skokie, and the chalet's been there forever, and I literally asked him, you know, how long has it been there? He said 101 years.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yes, last year was our 100th anniversary, so yes, now we're on the second century.
That's amazing.
And our tagline is, we call that a good start.
Right, the 102nd year is the hardest.
That's right.
Well, we'll get to your specific question. I want to start with all this rain we've been having.
Yes.
I have to tell you, we planted some grass seed, and I think it filled in a week with all this rain we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks beautiful and green, but if you have Annabelle hydrangeas and it rains, they're all floppy.
It's not just Annabelle. With all of this moisture, even if you haven't fertilized, even though it's been cool, things are just growing so lushly that they are weak-stemmed, and so shrubs are flopping over, even things that in the past haven't done that. I have trees at home that should be very upright, and they've grown so much that the stems just aren't strong enough to support them.
And is that because, didn't they say we got the most rain in May that we've had in many years?
Yes, it was.
So all that water.
Right. And I was just checking my rain gauge, and I've kept track in my home, and I've got 9.5 inches of rain this month, too. So everything is sodden, and while it sounds great, it really is problematic because it's as important for roots to get oxygen as it is for our lungs. So when the soil is saturated like this, plants are really under stress. And they will actually start showing nutrient deficiencies.
So what do we do?
Well, short
get
of going...
Get the blow dryer out?
Well, one of the things to do would be if you have things that are heavily mulched, I would go out there and make sure, if nothing else, not necessarily trees and shrubs, but on things that are soft stem, like annuals and vegetables and perennials and herbs, if you have those heavily mulched, make sure that mulch hasn't caved in and is resting up against those stems.
So rake it away maybe
pull it away and try and get air circulation around those stems and also try and expose that surface a little bit so you get some surface evaporation so you get some oxygen to those root systems.
I am so happy that I did not mulch yet because of procrastination because now my plants are better off than the people who mulched.
Well, to some extent that's true.
If it rains again, Wendy, just get out there with an umbrella and hold it over them.
Exactly.
There's only one of me, and there's like a million plants I have.
I don't
want to
hear your excuses.
There was another question I had, but it just completely flew out of my head.
Well, so,
mushrooms. Is that why we're getting so many mushrooms in the backyard because of all this rain?
Right. So when you have mushrooms...
And are they edible?
Oh, God, no. No. You never make that assumption because so many of them, you have to be a trained mycologist.
Maybe I am.
Well, okay. If you are, then that's fine. But
I think my puppy's been eating them.
You have to be really careful about that because many of them are highly, highly poisonous. And that's just a function of, with all of this moisture in the soil,
that the organic matter, and you may have not known it, but there are roots or old stumps or whatever, this old organic matter decaying, and so they are feeding on that, and so that's what the mushroom, that decaying organic matter, is supporting the mushroom growth.
And how do I get rid of those other than just going and...
Well, you keep harvesting them, and when I say harvest, I mean just removing them.
Yeah.
But as long as the soil is this wet and as long as that wood or those roots have not decomposed completely, as long as there's that kind of moisture, they will keep coming back and back and back until that is completely broken down to nothing.
All right. Tony Fulmer is here, the Chief Horticulture Officer, I almost said it, at Chalet Nursery, which is celebrating 101 years.
Yes.
You can follow them on Facebook at Chalet Nursery. You can go visit them at 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. And Harry, do you want to get to your question now? Because I don't want to...
I have so many questions. First of all, is your favorite movie Edward Scissorhands?
It's up there.
It's up there. I would think in your world it is.
Yes.
All right. So I want to get mycologist. I never heard of a mycologist. So I want to get a plant to put, you know, for our little stoop as you walk up the path to our house. We got like the stoop, and then you walk in the house. Unless you're, you know, you don't live there, then, you know, you don't have a key. You wouldn't go in there. But I want to get a plant that will last and, you know, something with a little color. And it could withstand the rain. It could withstand, you know, I'd like it to last more than a week.
In a planter?
In a planter. And could you recommend something?
And is this for sun or is this for shade?
Well, I'm going to say it's probably shade.
Okay.
But I mean, it's going to be like the first thing people see when they, you know, when they look at the house, when they come to the door. I just want to try to... you know, brighten my wife's day, as I must do constantly.
Okay.
So I want to get...
You're not enough.
No. How much time do you have? So I want to get, you know, my mom used to always love mums.
Yes.
You know, yellow mums. It was easy to remember because I would get my mom a mum.
Right.
You know, dad, I would get him dad's root beer. But I want to get a plant that will you know, be colorful but low maintenance.
Okay. Well, so the question is, if you want color, do you want flower color or do you want leaf color? If it's in partial
flower color.
Okay. Then situation like that, probably your best bet if you're looking at less than 4 hours of sun a day would be to go to some of the begonias.
Begonias.
The begonias are succulent stemmed, so they, once they're wet, they stay wet. They're not needy like impatiens are.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do sun, they can do shade, they can do anything in between, and they're very forgiving if you miss a watering.
But you know you have to water, because every planter I've made, sometimes I get lazy and stop watering them.
Right.
And now in my planter, I have weeds from last year. I haven't planted anything yet this year.
Well, and
you have to water them.
You have to water. And I think that's a point that we need to make, is that people tend to forget that water is not cumulative. Rainfall is not cumulative. So if it stops raining and the month of July, we get no moisture at all, we've got to get back to watering. And that does, because it's been raining in May and June, doesn't mean that you stop watering for the rest of the season.
Are begonias big? I mean,
Harry, there's such a wide range of those.
I could get them.
Yes, all the way from 6 inches all the way up to 24 to 30 inches tall.
Oh, cool.
And you can get them with green, many of them you can get with green leaf or red leaf. And then you can get various flower colors of pink or red or white in most of those in the green or the red leaf.
Yeah, I'm just becoming an expert here. Next thing you know, I'm gonna have a rain gauge at my house. I have a follow-up question, but Mary Ann is going to ask you the same type of question.
Okay.
So, all right, well, can we take a quick break?
Sure.
And then we'll come back. Mary Ann,
show.
Hang on the line. I love to have a really wonderful garden. It's Wendy Snyder here, and Harry Tynowitz loves to have a good garden too, but I don't know if you're willing to put in the effort. Do you have a green thumb?
I don't have a green thumb. I have more of like a television remote thumb.
All right, Tony Fulmer's here, Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. You can go to chaletnursery.com. It's a great website. They have wonderful products. We've gotten a lot of rain. You had a follow-up question, but you suggested maybe we let Mary Ann ask it.
I don't want to be totally selfish. So Mary Ann's right there with me. I've got the same problem as Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was the only one. Okay, so I do not have a green thumb either, but my father does. So he came over and he planted about 12 lily bulbs about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago.
Okay.
And these little chipmunk critters are so adorable, but they came and they stole about 5 of them, so there are 7 left. But the ones they didn't steal, they have been gnawing at. So there's probably a 2 or 3 inch growth. And I'm wondering, how do we deter them from eating what's left? Although I see these little chipmunks popping up all over, like moles.
Okay.
I want to whack a mole.
Okay. There are 2 ways you can do that. You can either do an enclosure to exclude them. So you could do something like chicken wire or hardware cloth and put it, depending upon how you have those spaced, if they're in a row or if they're in a clump together, and you just put hardware cloth or chicken wire around them and then put stakes to hold them up, but make sure you put them at least an inch into the ground so they're not digging under. So you bury that and then exclude them. Or there is a product called Repelzol, which is a nasal irritant, and when it gets up in their little noses, it gets them conditioned to this. Exactly. And they pull out their little handkerchiefs and they wipe their little noses. But it's universal. It's really interesting when you look at the front of that product. They even have things like aardvarks on there and things that we don't even have here. So it's a universal repellent, but it's a nasal repellent. So you can spray the plants and that should keep them away without having to create an enclosure around them.
Now, is it true that things like a fox urine powder and fox urine spray will also deter them? Because that was something that I'd gotten, and I did spray around the plant rather than directly on them, thinking because they are predators that might scare them.
Well, yes, we sell that product as well, and I think anytime you're dealing with a biological population like that, you can have varying results. So certainly try it and see what happens.
And Marianne, that also makes a wonderful perfume.
Is that what you're wearing today? Because I don't like it. Thank you, Marianne.
All right, thank you for your help.
Good luck to you. And I have a puppy who's eating all my plants. I was talking to you off the air. Maybe I'll put some of that chicken wire up just to keep him away. You're rolling your eyes.
No, but it's one of those things where you have to weigh the results and the effort to do that against not doing it. And I know you love your garden, and it sounds like you've got a lab puppy, and there's nothing much more energetic and in some ways destructive in a garden than a raging lab puppy. So, you know, to me, the best thing would be find the things that are most important, and if nothing else, cage those areas.
I have a purple snake root that I do not want him to touch, so that one I think he likes sedum and goldenrod, and then I get worried that some of these might be poisonous.
Oh, many are.
Oh, great.
Many are.
Not only will squirrels like come and mess with our plants and stuff like that, but squirrels, we used to carve a pumpkin and leave it out there like the middle of October, and squirrels come and they destroy every pumpkin.
I know.
They dig a hole in the top of our garbage. Can I use Repelzol?
You can. The interesting thing is when you plant bulbs in the fall, lots of people have issues with that, and they mm-hmm. actually think that they are specifically going after the bulbs. What is actually attracting them is that for 5 days after that soil has been disturbed, there is a certain aroma there, and they're actually coming to see what's going on in that disturbed soil. So they're not necessarily coming for the bulbs. The bulbs are just a bonus when they're digging around in that freshly turned soil. That's what they're going after, and then the bulbs are just a bonus.
Tony Fulmer's here. We don't have a lot of time left, but there are definitely different things you should be doing in your garden at different times of the year. What should we be doing now? You have a couple minutes.
A couple of things that I would start with right now is that depending upon how much water you've been getting, or if you have plants that are susceptible to fungal diseases, remember that things like black spot on roses, you have to treat that preventatively. You don't treat that curatively. And with all this rain that we've been having, leaf surfaces are not drying out. So fungal diseases are going to be epidemic this year. So when it dries out, get your fungicides on. We've seen lots of tomatoes with problems, fungal problems. And just remember that fungal problems are, you prevent them, you don't cure them. The other thing that I would say is that you need to really watch your containers, because in containers, the soil that you've planted in has no innate nutrient value. And so with all of this rain, whatever little nutrient value is in there has been leached out of the bottom of the pot. So in containers in particular, you need to be, as soon as it dries out a little bit, if you didn't put a long-term fertilizer like Osmocote in there at the beginning of the season, you should start fertilizing, because your containers are, your plants in containers are going to show signs. They're going to be small, and they're going to be yellow, and they're not going to flower well because they're going to be starved.
You know, Richard Rodgers, originally the lyric was Black Spots on Roses.
I was thinking that when he said that, too. Boy, that scares me that I think like you. Real quickly, I am, every time you come here, I confess things. And with the new puppy, I have to admit that I have not planted my tomatoes or cucumbers yet. Is it too late? Am I done?
Well, you're just going to have a very late crop. I hope you got some varieties like Early Girl that
are shorter
to maturity. So you need to get them in.
And then, don't buy them with flowers on them, right? You said don't do that because that's what I've done typically in the past.
You're always better off getting a younger plant, whether it's a tomato or whether it's an annual. You're always better buying the younger plant that maybe is budded or not even budded. That's always, always, always better.
So look for buds, not flowers, when you're buying. And it's not too late. I mean, I may get some.
Well, it's all going to be a function of heat. If it gets hot and stays hot, then tomatoes are tropical and they love that heat and they will come on very quickly. But if we keep having 65 and 70 degree days, that's going to slow them down.
They'll be ankle high on the 4th of July.
Although, right. Think of it, like our seasons are shifting a little bit. So it's staying hotter later into the year.
Yes.
So again, maybe my procrastination, not mulching and not planting tomatoes, maybe I will in turn kick ass and be better than everyone else.
There may be a book in this.
Any way you want to justify it, Wendy.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. Yeah. He is Tony Fulmer. He is amazing. Bill, I'm sure, is sorry he missed you today because he loves when you come up. Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. You can go to chaletnursery.com or check out the location, 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette.
Bill wanted to ask him about his beanstalk because his beanstalk is like 80 stories high now in his backyard.
All right. Harry, I got to tell you, I love having you here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say goodbye to Tony Fulmer.
Thank you.
Until next time.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much. Harry's in for Bill Leff. He's having fun today. I'm having fun with you. And I thank you for coming. We're going to take a quick break, see what Steve Bertrand has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch.